Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The following prescribed is transcribed.
Good evening. I'm Jerry G. Bishop, and this is the famed split-level dungeon studio where, many years ago, the legendary Sven Gulli burst into television prominence. Even today, many fondly remember Sven Gulli providing the same classic entertainment as such time-honored shows as Hello, Larry, My Mother the Car, or Celebrity Pin Spotting. But then, one day, at his peak, Sven Gulli simply dropped from sight. The rumors were many. That he'd dyed his hair and changed his name to Phil Donahue. That he'd gone on to a rewarding career in motel management. No one knew for sure. And yet, one rumor still is whispered among an uneasy populace. What if there were the same situation as in the past with the son of Frankenstein? The son of Dracula? Sanford and Son? Could there exist somewhere, somehow, the son of Sven Gulli?
Hey, Dad, can I borrow the keys to the hearse tonight?
Yeah!
Ah, thank you. Ah, good evening. I am the son of Sven Gulli.
Dave, back with you on 720 WGN. So who better represents the Halloween season in the Windy City other than Chicago's very own Rich Kohs, who is celebrating 37 years since he first stepped into the role of Sven Gulli, seen every Saturday at 9 Central on MeTV. Now, with appearances all over Chicagoland, the success of the recently released Sven Gulli Stomp, record-breaking ratings, and, of course, the best horror movies to sink your teeth into every week, truly one of the nicest guys in the business, all the way from Berwyn.
Berwyn!
And also hanging out in studio is executive producer of Sven Gulli, and that is Mr. Jim Roach. Hello there, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, who came in?
There we go. How you been, buddy?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. I cannot believe, and I'm sure you can't believe some days, that it's been almost really 40 years since you started this character.
It is. It's pretty amazing to me. I think I've said before, if when I started, somebody said I would still be doing the character now, I never would have thought that. I was just thrilled to have a show and be doing stuff on TV at the time. And it is pretty amazing. And now to, you know, have people all over the country watching us is just, it's just amazing to me.
And if you think about when Jerry started his character, that was 46 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been decades, which is fabulous because it's still so much fun to watch. And I assume when you were growing up in Chicago, you watched some of these horror movie shows as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think the first ones I saw, I was very small and I did, you know, normally was not allowed to stay up late. We'd be at a relative's house and I'd see the famous Shock Theater with Marvin. Yeah. And I remember only seeing that a couple times. And then there was kind of a dearth of horror movies. And then they'd show them on the 3:30 movie on Channel 7. And for a while, Channel 5 would run them like at midnight on
Thrillerama,
Saturdays or Sundays.
I think it was called, right? And then it was Monster Rally, I think that was on for a little while on 44.
Sure. There were all sorts of stations that
creature features,
some sort of horror movies on them. And, you know, I got into them. When I was younger, I always tell people this and they laugh, I was afraid of everything. And I was
really?
So scared. If I'd watch a scary movie, I would have nightmares for nights on end.
Wow.
And now
you broke
I am.
That, obviously,
I'm causing the nightmares for
for millions,
several people,
for millions, several. And I would say for me, I remember like my mother, my father. I'd see creature features on TV when I was a kid, and I'd have to go to bed. The first time I really sat down and watched horror movies was your show.
Really,
it was, yeah.
Okay, the show in the 70s?
In 79, yeah. That's probably when I really sat down and started watching some of these scary shows. I don't think I saw Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein, any of these things. And I know that that came later, but I think I started watching all these kind of crazy shows you were airing when you hit the air.
Oh, well, you can blame me then.
Because I was like 10, 11 years old when that started. So
yeah.
I was scared about those movies too and seeing the creature and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's been a tradition for myself and my family to watch you every week. And you know, you started with the Screaming Yellow Theater with Jerry G. Bishop. You started as a writer for him, right?
Yeah, actually just as a fan. And I was at Northwestern at the time. And I was just a fan of him on radio and TV. And I just started sending him jokes. And he liked them. And eventually found out I was a radio TV student. And he liked some of the stuff I was sending him, and he said, "Do you think you could write a parody of, you know, some sort of commercial, whatever commercial was popular on the air?" So I did that, and that eventually worked into my working with him on the show and then subsequently on radio. And he was the one that decided that I should pick up the Svengoolie family torch. It was his decision, and that's a big, you know, very flattering thing to me.
When you watched him in the early 70s, like what attracted you to the show? What was it exactly? Was it this just the silly slapstick humor? Like what was it? Was it the whole thing, mixing horror and comedy together?
I think, yeah, both things actually, because I did like the movies, and some of them that he showed were not exactly the most high level ones. But also, I was a fan of his and his sense of humor, which I think is kind of similar to mine, and I just really enjoyed watching him. He did some funny stuff.
So 6 years later, you get blessed to be able to put together this character, the son of Svengoolie, and at that time, you know, Channel 32 was interested, but then didn't they tell you, well, we're going to audition people for it? You came up with the idea, you brought the show to the station, and they said, yeah, you can audition for it.
Yeah, because Jerry G. Bishop had decided he was going to move out to San Diego. And when he left, he said, what do you want to do? You know, what are you planning on doing? And I said, I don't know, maybe I'll try to sell some local station on a TV show, come up with an idea. And he said, I tell you what, and we had talked about doing a Son of Svengoolie thing before, because somebody had approached him once about doing a Svengoolie show just as a summer thing. And he didn't really want to put the outfit on again, but he felt that I could actually, you know, pick up the slack there. And he said, "Why don't you be it, and I'll just produce it." And we had talked about it, nothing came of it. But then when he was leaving town, he said, "I tell you what, if you want to try to do the Son of Svengoolie thing, you have my blessing. Go ahead and do it." And I did. I brought it to various. I talked to various stations. One, when I talked to the program director, he laughed and hung up on me. I wonder where he is.
That's
now.
Nice. Exactly.
And when I went to 32, they said, "Yeah, you know, we've been thinking of doing something like this. And what if we have a bake-off and have anybody who thinks they could do this kind of show audition?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, I'm bringing you this whole complete concept." And they're like, "Yeah, but we could like see who would want to be able to do it." And I'm like, "Okay, so I did an audition. Other people did auditions, and eventually it came down to me finally getting it."
And there you have it. And then the set pieces, the coffin was his original coffin, which is in the museum, which we'll talk about.
Which was the first one that I used,
And you painted over it, and it kind of morphed over time, right?
Yes. Because, you know, after a while, it didn't make sense for his face to be on it. I just painted my face over it.
But what are some of the other set pieces, like the walls and stuff? Didn't that come from other...
Originally, there was a few pieces that our stagehands built, but then they got hold of some that were part of the original Shock Theater show from Channel 7.
Wild, from the 50s.
Yes.
Because they didn't throw anything out. They kept all this stuff.
That's smart that they do things like that.
Yeah.
And then eventually, those set pieces were given to a local college, which painted over them.
It was lovely.
Seriously, because when I was going to come to WCIU, I actually called the college and I said, "Hey, I understand they gave you those flats. Can we have them? Because here's what I'm going to do." They said, "Oh, they don't exist anymore."
Oh, boy.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, boy. But those lasted you a long time, too, because obviously you only get a new set recently. So those lasted, you know, decades.
Yeah.
The new ones that you
did.
Well, it's Svengoolie, Rich Coase, and after the news, we're going to talk about the Svengoolie Stomp, his appearances around town, favorite horror flicks, and much more. So stick around at 720 WGN.
They did the stomp. Svengoolie Stomp. They did the stomp. Svengoolie Stomp. When the moon is full, the mummy stomp. Now everybody's doing the Svengoolie Stomp. When I went to a party last Saturday night, I walked into the room. It was an eerie sight. Everybody dressed like monsters, you see. They were watching Svengoolie on the TV. He stood there in his casket, he was laughing away. He talked about the movie.
720 WGN. Dave Player and Rich Coase in studio, along with Jim Roach, talking all things Halloween, upcoming appearances, favorite horror movies, and of course the award-winning Svengoolie, airing every Saturday night at 9 on MeTV. You know, you always had great characters on the show that have come in and out over different iterations. You know, your buddy Doug Graves, who's you know, such an integral part of the music of the show.
A terrific musician, a guy that I've been friends with since high school, and I was in high school band with, and he's been a part of, I think, every show that I've ever done.
That's very cool. Yeah, that's very cool. Zalman T. Tombstone.
The Talking Skull, whose character was based on Billy Saluga's character, Raymond J. Johnson, Jr., who used to do the whole litany of, but you doesn't has to call me Johnson. You can call me Ray, or you could call me Jay. And that was where he really came from.
That honestly, I loved when I saw that skull with the mustache and the cigar appear. In fact, we have a replica of that at the Broadcast Museum, but every time I saw that, it just immediately made me crack up.
Yeah.
A classic.
We got rid of the cigar eventually because, you know, those things can kill you, even if you're a skull.
What? So, yeah. I guess so. New additions, of course, Kerwin.
Kerwin, the prehistoric rubber chicken, which people always question. In the Jurassic period, were there rubber chickens? And obviously, yes, there were.
People are looking for facts and history
on
this.
They want factual material.
Okay.
And yes, he's our male assistant. One of several that we've had along the way, one of which was Ed the Bat, who had a high, squeaky voice that was so bad that our boss, Neil Saban, absolutely hated the voice and said, you know, you got to get rid of it. So we actually did a bit where he fired him.
That's fantastic. I love that. I love that. And now my new personal favorite. I mean, my absolute favorite that I know he's you brought him here tonight when you got the new coffin is Bodie Sorrell.
Well, yeah. You see, the cover of the coffin has this unusual looking skull on it that might resemble me a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But and at first, we didn't even realize that it could talk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk to him?
You know what? You're quite a, you know, is he here? He's quite a joke teller. Is he in the room?
Let me go get him.
Okay. Right, okay.
All right, Body, would you come in here, please? All right, what's the big friend? Hey, Rob, it's nice to be here.
Well,
Dave Blyer, you know, you resemble my pal Mel Cooley.
Yeah, all right, I love
Mel. Is that
Mel.
Your neck blown a bubble or are you bald?
That's nice. You know, I got to ask you, Body, have you had lunch yet? Would you like to join me in a bowl of soup?
You think both of us will fit? You know, I love soup. I got a coat with rubber pockets so I can steal soup from restaurants.
I love that. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. You know, I heard you had a week back. How long have you had that?
Oh, about a week back. I don't even have a back. I'm just a skull. What's the matter with you?
You are just a skull. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but I believe in astrology. My wife is an earth sign. I'm a water sign.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You know, together we make mud.
You know, my mother had psychic powers. She was a medium, and I was an extra large.
You know.
No, I don't know. You better keep talking.
You know, I just got back from a business trip, and there was a girl knocking on my hotel door all night long.
Well, really? You should have let her out.
There we go. I love Body. It's so nice. Nice to hear from you, man.
Well, I wish I could say the same thing, but I've got to go and hang around on that coffin again. So I'm leaving. I'll see you later. Talk to that dumb guy, Coase.
Okay. Did you take that from him? What a bunch
I have
of,
to.
You have
to. You know,
to.
It's part of the job.
Part of the contract, yeah.
Together we make mud. I don't know how he missed that one.
I don't know how he did. He's got to get on his stick. So a couple years ago, so this is the new coffin we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You got a brand new spanking set, which is beautiful. But I want to talk about the old one. You donated it to the Broadcast Museum.
Yeah. I was very honored that you're willing to take it there.
Oh, of course. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. It is. You know, people don't, you know, understand. And I've been there when people have said, so this is the original set? Like, this is like, and maybe they haven't put it all together if they've just jumped into the show and just saw your set. No, this is the original that was put together. And the original, that's the most amazing piece to me is the coffin.
Oh, definitely so. And it's got so much history. Like you said, it was originally Jerry's when he started the show. The coffin started getting used around 72, I believe.
Right.
And then, you know, it spent some years in my basement. And then
wow.
over at WFLD and then over to WCIU and eventually, you know, to our MeTV studios.
I know. There was a time that I just saw you really trying to get that top of the door up when you would close it as the chickens were coming. You really had to get it up and going.
Well, let's face it. When the stagehands built this thing, did they think, yeah, this is going to be around for 35 years?
Yeah, no, of course not. Of course not.
They probably were thinking, you know, if you're lucky, it'll last, you know, 3 years.
You don't usually build a coffin to last, really.
Well, then again.
Exactly. But this one, the new one, I'm telling you, and I've been on set, the set is absolutely amazing. It's beautiful. It just brings it up to just a whole new beautiful look on the show. It's amazing.
Well, the credit really goes to the Acme Design Company from out in Elgin. They did such a tremendous job. First of all, they're fans of the old movies and thankfully fans of my show. And they just knew exactly what to put in there. And all the background stuff on the walls and such, the mechanical stuff.
All the little details.
It's so perfect. Yeah. And there are little things, you know, they're on the little meters that are on the machines that have little jokes on them that, you know, for the most part will never be seen on TV, but they're there. Yeah. And the coffin has so many little, you know, nods to various things hidden on it that it's just outstanding. And it even has little fans in the back so that I have air coming into the coffin.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah, it's very comfortable.
That's great, because you sleep in it.
Yeah, standing up. I'm like a horse.
That's got to give you some level of pride to walk in there when you see that brand new set after all the years of having that same set that was just aging. You know, now you walk in there, you just got to think, wow, this is really cool.
It is, and it's so cool when it's in there and people come in to be on other shows at the station and the set is up.
Yeah, people
and,
are excited.
You know, they're like, oh, my gosh, can I get a picture with that? And when, you know, people like Gilbert Gottfried come in and they're excited because they see it, it's all amazing.
That's
to
very
me.
Cool. That's very cool. And we bump back in with the Svengoolie Stomp, which debuted in the beginning of September by Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. Now, how did that all come about? Because I know you guys never met. He was a fan. You guys never really talked about it. It was just something he brought to you. Tell me the story behind all that.
Yeah, basically, one day we get an email from him, and it's, hey, it's Freddie Cannon, and I'm a big fan of your show. I really enjoy it, and I like it so much that I wrote a song for you. And we're like, he wrote a song for us? Really? He sends a copy over, and it's terrific. It has the same sound as, like, Palisades Park and his other hits. And, you know, we were just blown away by this. And so we said, well, you know, we got to get you in here to perform it. So he came into the studio, and we got to have dinner with him, Jim and I. And
How cool was that, right?
Absolutely amazing. He has stories.
I bet.
That just went on, and they were all fascinating.
I bet.
Yeah, you know, stories about everybody, you know, Dick Clark and Elvis and Frank Sinatra. And he's such a nice guy, too, and so much fun. And so he came in and performed it, and we're thinking, well, how can we make this a really fun video? So we started to ask some of our friends to do little cameo appearances in it. And
yeah, you have a bunch of celebs in there. Tell us some of the people that are in this.
Gilbert Gottfried, who I just mentioned, Penn and Teller, Dana Gould, comedian.
Dana Plato?
Dana Plato.
Oh, okay. All right.
Along with John C. McGinley, because they've got a horror show coming up on IFC, Stand Against Evil. Jerry the King Lawler, my wrestling buddy, and another wrestling pal, manager Jim Cornette is in there.
David Desmalchin from Ant-Man,
who's also going to be in MacGyver as a villain.
Oh, cool.
Which is very
the new MacGyver
cool.
That's on. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno makes an appearance.
Oh, you can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Larry Thomas, the soup Nazi.
Yes.
This random group of guys. I love it.
Well, I think that was part of the fun, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people were like, what? Who is that?
Or who's coming up next?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that really, you know, so that type of thing. So it's very cool.
And here's the really cool thing. You can purchase this and on Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, all that stuff, Spotify. But here's the really cool thing that you gave me, and it's available because vinyl's back, baby. It is.
That's what I've heard.
Mm. And this is a collectible. It's an orange vinyl, which is very cool. 45, the Svengoolie Stomp, with a great picture, you, the coffin, and Freddie. And I'll show it up to the cameras if you're watching at WGNRadio.com. But you can purchase this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's available. And, It's at, Jim, do you remember that?
WonderCapRecords.com.
WonderCapRecords.com.
WonderCap.
Okay, do you have a, I'll put that on a link on WGN Radio, and is there one on Sven's page, too?
There is.
Svengoolie.com.
And also you can get just the song itself on iTunes, because everybody should have this on their phone or on their MP3 player.
They should, but I'm going to tell you, the 45, that's cool.
It's pretty
cool. That is damn cool, yeah.
It's really neat. And if you want to see the video with the cameos, that's on our website, Svengoolie.com.
Awesome.
So look under videos.
It's a hit record, boss.
It is. Another milestone last month, as we talked about, you aired the original unaired pilot for Star Trek called The Cage to the hugest audience, biggest ratings in the history of the show, Jim,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, well, we hit a million viewers right in the middle of the show, right about when we ran the Svengoolie stomp for the second time.
That's
that
amazing.
Combined along with the Star Trek pilot was awesome, and people are finding Svengoolie.
What do you think about that? Isn't it, when you saw the numbers, oh my gosh?
Yeah, I don't know what to think. That's just it. I've never thought something like this would happen. I never thought so many people would be seeing what I do, and it's just amazing. And the fact that most of them seem to actually like it. So
oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
my God.
Worthwhile.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you've said there's celebrities that just come out of the woodwork and reach out to you and say, hey, you know, hey, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Or they
take
pictures of them in their shirts, right?
Well, and just the other day, it was a couple weeks ago, actually, they had Jamie Farr in to do some things for MeTV. And I ran into him in the hallway, and Joe Dale, the producer over there, introduced us. And Jamie went on about how he watches the show every Saturday night.
That's awesome.
And was a huge fan, and these guys really hit it off.
And the other cool thing was he talked about how he actually has worked with or been around
all the
a lot of the Universal players that are in those movies.
That's so
that was
cool.
Really great.
If you want something really scary, you should have Hot Lips come on the show if you haven't seen her lately. All right. Anyway. was this bigger than 3D Revenge of the Creature on Channel 32?
You know, I honestly don't know for sure.
No, I'm asking. I'm not making fun. That was a big event.
That was. Know? It was a lot of viewers, but I would think it had to be bigger because it was the numbers nationwide.
National. Yeah. Absolutely.
Rich, this is
absolutely.
Where Dave asked for his money back for the 3D glasses.
Yes.
I wish I still had the 3D glasses. I remember going to 7-Eleven and getting those. That was a big deal.
And then for a year after the broadcast, I would run into people, I want my 89 cents back. Because as I've said before, they expected to find seaweed in their living room from the 3D adventure.
We have that poster up in the museum because we've got several movie posters up
right,
there.
Right, yes.
And I also have one in my movie room in the house as a tribute to you, of
course.
Well,
that's very nice.
Absolutely,
thank you.
Absolutely. You have some very cool appearances coming up leading up to Halloween. You've done so many already. Your first appearance will be tomorrow at Harry Schmirler's Ford dealership in Elk Grove Fort Village.
With a voice like mine, I've got to show up at Halloween.
Singing Ford, man.
What about an appearance at Jameson's with Orion? How about that one?
Only if I can also say I love this place.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Next Saturday, October 22nd, your annual visit to Elgin's Nightmare on Chicago Street.
That is always so much fun, and they do such a great job. The whole premise of it is that there's been a zombie outbreak in Elgin, and the middle of the city there is the safe zone. And all around there are wandering zombies on the outskirts, and some of them actually make it into the safe zone, and all sorts of special effects. It's like being in a zombie movie. And
that's cool.
I get to sign autographs for a while and then go up on stage. They always have a big costume contest.
I would think, yeah.
Just so much fun, and the costumes are always amazing. The Red Eyes, Elliot Serrano, is helping co-host that.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, he does Patty's show quite a bit.
Yeah. We always have a good time with him. Oh, yeah. So
very cool.
I'm looking forward to it. It's always one of the big events every Halloween season.
And that's at NightmareOnChicagoStreet.com. Then on Friday night, October 28th, the Skokie Skadium Ice Arena in Skokie, a Halloween public skate and costume contest there as well.
Yeah, and we did that for the first time last year. And it's a lot of fun. Again, I'm signing autographs and taking pictures with people.
That's great.
And it's fun to see people in costume on the ice there. And, you know, you have to have some grace to do that. So, naturally, I will not be skating.
You will not do the Ralph Cramden when he got on the roller skating ring type of thing. Okay, all right. Saturday, October 29th, you're back at Volo, I'm a huge fan of Volo and their antique shops and everything. Their auto museum is absolutely incredible. The Batmobile, all that great stuff. And Svengoolie.
Yeah, and again, we've been doing this for about, 4 years, maybe?
Maybe longer. It's
Every Halloween season we've been there, and it's always great. We always have a huge turnout, and it's so cool to be among all those cars and everything and, and have people come out there. You can spend the whole day there, obviously, because they have so much going on. You've got the antiques. They've got free haunted train
tours.
Rides.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
And all the movie cars, too. It's really fun.
It is. It's spectacular. Here's one thing that I have to tell you, because it is haunted, the place.
Yes.
It's haunted. Mm-hmm. So Em and I, my daughter, were shopping in there one afternoon, and it was a few years ago, and we were on the second floor, and there was an oval print of a black and white, you know, it was a black and white print, maybe it might have been turn of the century, and it was, you know, they've got all these little individual, because it's an antique shop, so each one's got their own booth, and as we were standing in the middle of the hallway, one of the oval frames just shot out of the booth and like stood up and fell down in the middle of the floor.
Oh, man. Oh,
and it freaked out both Em and I, because they told us just a few minutes before downstairs that, oh, yeah, you know, we do haunted tours, and we've had people come and walk through the place and evaluate the ghosts and so forth. And as soon as it happened, all these women scattered and went and got their books and cameras and documented everything, because evidently things like that happen there all the time.
Yeah, I remember them telling us that when we were in the antique area once, one of the women working there said, yeah, something just happened the other day. Nobody was around. All of a sudden, something just went off a table and rolled all the way across one of the aisles.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. They're old farmhouses. I mean, for the most part, some of these buildings are...
A lot of, was it Civil War soldiers that were involved there?
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history
so
there.
So this is a great place to go for Halloween,
it definitely
obviously,
is.
On Halloween weekend.
Always a good time.
Saturday, October 29th, and volocars.com. You can find out more information on that, of course, at svengooley.com as well. And then on Halloween night, and I love this, the NFL, the Bears pregame show on WCIU, you're going to be doing the pregame show.
Right.
You're going to be hosting it,
yes.
The whole
thing. No,
all right.
I'm not doing that. Are you kidding?
There's going to be a lot to talk about, I'm sure, at that
point.
And
we're working on making a visit here again with my friends Bill and Wendy on Halloween.
Always. It's a tradition.
And when Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantes do their special, is it CB and Me, their
CD.
Halloween thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I might just be making an appearance there as well.
Look at that. I love that.
See, I can't
keep away from
WGN.
You're part of our family as well. And you did Nick a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, his show.
Oh.
All right. So, always love talking with you about the movies themselves. And a few years ago, a whole group of us got together, and Dean Richards and Jim and Jim Engle and a few other folks, and we watched Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Yes, it was great.
I think Dean fell asleep about halfway through.
He did, actually. But, you know, the poor guy gets up at 2 in the morning?
He's about 2, 3 in the morning. Yeah, exactly. But that has got to be...
He doesn't snore, so it's okay.
He doesn't snore. No, not according to anybody. But Abbott Costello Meets Frankenstein, that is the tops for you, isn't it?
It's one of my favorites. We are going to run that right at the end of the month, right before Halloween.
Oh, I love that.
It's the perfect blend of comedy and horror, and, you know, with the main Universal monsters and Bela Lugosi and Larry Talbot, Lon Chaney Jr. It's got everything.
And I know you talked about this before, but, you know, Bela Lugosi, this was really the only second time he played Dracula.
Right, yeah.
Which is great, because people, you know, associated with him, because since the early 1930s, he played vampires before, but as Dracula.
Right, yeah.
And getting all these people, what was the reason behind Universal saying, okay, we're going to mix comedy and Abbott Costello? Because I know Lou Costello didn't like the idea at all at first.
No, not at all. Originally, there was rumors that it was going to be a Broadway play, Abbott and Costello Meet the Monsters, and be a show there.
Okay.
And at the time, their film career was kind of lagging a little bit, and they were looking for a way to try to, you know, spice it up. And the actual horror genre at Universal had pretty much died out as well. They hadn't had any of the movies in a while, and they thought, well, let's give this a shot, because, you know, this is, they didn't do the Broadway show. Let's put this together and see if it flies. And boy, did it. It was such a huge success.
Yeah.
It made so much money for them. And then, of course, they followed it up with a few other ones like Abbott and Costello Meet Boris Karloff, the Killer, and Meet the Invisible Man, and Meet the Mummies. And
you can't write off Hold That Ghost either. That was a great one, too, of theirs.
Hold That Ghost is a very funny movie.
With Shemp in it.
Yes, Shemp makes a brief appearance
yes,
in it.
He does.
He is not the ghost.
No, he is not. I've got a handful of clips that Jim pulled together of four characters, very recognizable characters, very recognizable films. I want to see if you know exactly who it is and a little background on that person.
What, is this a game show now?
Yes,
thanks, Dave. You blew my cover. You
are
weren't
you
supposed
kidding
to tell
me?
Them that I did this. Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah. You can win big prizes. I've got Svengoolie shirts.
Oh, well, in that case.
This is going to be such an awkward ride home. Dave, you were supposed to get these clips on your own. I
oh,
wasn't supposed to
right,
help you.
Right, right. And Kristen's helping us out with that. So let's start with the first one.
Thank you, Kristen.
Poor Mr. Henry. He was to have been married today to that lovely girl, Elizabeth.
Bandages right up to the top of his head, all round his ears.
Any blood?
No blood. Looks like some kind of horrible accident.
Well, right. That, of course, that last part was from The Invisible Man,
yep.
And that is one of the most shrill women in many of the Universal movies, Una O'Connor. Who was kind of a comedian.
Yeah.
And she kind of plays a
I can
a
picture
of,
her face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A comic relief in these movies.
And she's yes. And she was married to Len O'Connor.
Yes, she was. And Katie O'Connor at the same time.
So it
was
quite Una O'Connor.
We don't like to talk about it on the air, but.
Okay, all right.
Scandalous.
All right.
I'm going to try to get her on the show.
Yeah, would you do that? Get a shovel now.
Get a Play-Doh, I tell you.
Good.
Get a shovel now. All right, let's go with the second one.
Let me out! I know you're out of monies. I hit it. It's in the oven, Red. Let me out. I tell you where the money is. It's in the oven.
It's in the oven. Of course, that's Gordon Ramsay. Who is, no, actually, I know exactly. That's Bela Lugosi himself playing against type as a gangster, as a mob boss. And that was from the movie Black Friday.
Which you just aired.
Which we aired.
Yeah.
And the funny story about
yeah.
that was that Universal had a, you know, PR thing that said, we brought in a hypnotist to hypnotize Bela and make him think that he was really trapped and suffocating in the closet. And that's why he was so frantic in that scene. And, of course, it was not true. The first person to ever point that out to us was Gilbert Gottfried.
Is that right? Actually, recently. Oh,
he
wow.
is an expert on the old horror movies.
Everything.
He knows everything.
Wow.
He's great about, you know, pulling up obscure facts.
And he's going to be on the show? Was he on the show?
He's been on the show before,
okay.
And I'm sure he will again.
Okay,
he
right.
made me promise that someday he could be the hand at the door.
Oh,
so he'll probably be at the door.
That'll be fun. I've had that honor. That is that
Why,
is
yes.
that is it's an honor to do that, man. It is an honor to do that.
And you're ambidextrous, so it's
exactly
my right,
right
arm to be ambidextrous.
All right, let's
Thank
get the next
tonight.
Clip.
What happened to him?
A wolf bit him.
Do something. Can't you help him?
We must take him home.
For 1,000 years, we gypsies have buried our dead like that. I couldn't break the custom, even if I wanted to.
Talking about gypsies, tramps, and thieves, it's Cher, ladies and gentlemen. Now, talking to Evelyn Ankers, that is the great actress Maria Ospenskaya, who played Maliva the Gypsy Woman, who was the
Fortune
expert...
Teller.
Yeah. On werewolves, because her son Bela was a werewolf, and she tries to help Larry Talbot to get past his terrible curse. And the funny story about her is that she was a very, very famous classical actress, and she actually had her own school of acting, and she took roles like this.
Wow.
Just so she could help fund that school.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What a great story. And you know what? Most of these people, and the, especially the next one too, all these people were like gone dead by like 1950.
Oh, sure.
This Maria died. She was smoking in bed and burned down the house. Don't try that at home, kids. I guess.
The way she walked was thorny. And now...
Exactly. All right, let's listen to the last clip.
Here we work half a night to get this thing rigged up, and then he says, we'll wait a while. What's going on around here anyway?
And I set him right down slap here at this door.
This is a guy that he's a very odd looking gentleman.
Yeah. Very odd looking gentleman. Yeah.
He's Skelton Nags.
It's a great name.
Is his name. Yeah. And in especially House of Dracula, he is just so awful. He's like an awful actor. He's like, you know,
awful looking kind of and an awful actor.
Awful
yeah.
looking, awful yeah. acting. He's, you know, deadpan, and he delivers his lines like he is just reading them off of a piece of paper in front of him.
Like Bob Hope.
Hey, I'll tell you. That's wild, isn't it? Skelton Nags right here.
Yeah. He was in a bunch of Dick Tracy movies I saw, too, like a bunch of them.
Yeah, he was also in some Sherlock Holmes movies,
okay.
I believe.
Okay. Now, you can also, by the way, there's so many Svengoolie goodies you can own. We talked about the Svengoolie stomp on 45, and again, you can get that at, Jim?
WonderCapRecords.com.
WonderCapRecords.com, and we'll put that on the website as well. And, of course, there's Sven T-shirts, buttons, retired chickens, and Rich and Jim have been kind enough to bring a couple of T-shirts with us. So we will take the 7th and the 9th caller, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, 7th and 9th caller, and you'll get a Sven shirt. Thank you guys for that. That's very cool.
And remember, it glows in the dark. We don't know why.
And Rich has worn them both, so they're very valuable.
Same time.
Very good.
Am I missing anything?
No, just if anybody is not lucky enough to win tonight, they can go to Svengoolie.com to get the T-shirts. There's a new set of buttons out there. There's magnets. There's I think we have actual refrigerators to put the magnets on. Well, no, I don't know.
Well, that's nice.
And we're working on a very special item that we're hoping to have before the holidays.
Okay. All right. We'll stay tuned for that.
It's going to be
Will you come back
really
on and talk
special.
To us about that?
I will be happy to, yes.
And, of course, if you want to find out more about Rich's, Sven's appearances and upcoming movies featured on the show, and as he said, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein coming back up at the end of the month. And, by the way, I have the DVD. I have the Blu-ray. I don't watch that. I watch the DVR version of Svengoolie because that's the way I love watching that movie.
Oh, that's
You're
nice.
A sick man,
Dave. I'm
a
sick man. And you can catch all that at Svengoolie.com and also follow Sven on Facebook as well. Rich and Jim, always a pleasure.
Well, it's always nice to visit with you here, Dave.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Same to you, Dave.
All right. Much more ahead on 720 WGN.